Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you very much, Dave Solomon. So much to about, including the fact that we are winding down August. Please tell me again, didn't I say this last month? How is this happening that this year is zipping by? August the 23rd here in Baltimore, Maryland, USA, Eastern Time. And I'm very conscious of time today because of the fact that our guests will be calling from Australia. Bless their hearts, Trish and Dave Long, who comprise the duo called Sahara, are going to be on the show. It will be 5 o'clock their time, so we'll have plenty of coffee on board. Trish assures me that Dave is making the donuts. I think that's great. Do they have donuts in Australia? I'm just curious. I don't know. They're originally from Dublin, Ireland, so it's going to feel a little like home for this Hennessy gal to hear these two. Trish and I have been poking each other on Facebook for a while, and it's so cool to know that there's another lady who's involved in music named Trish. So we'll hear their story and some absolutely lovely music. Different. It's so different than what you have heard on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, but that's what makes the show hybrid. What do you say? We're going to start off with a classic. As is the usual case, this is Mungo Santa Maria and Afro Blue. Check it out. Thank you.
waiting for a train. Questions in my head driving me insane. Will he sweep me off my feet, take me to his house of love? Does that, he call me on the phone, his car broke down, can I get there alone? No, I just wanna cry. Mama's words come back to me when she said life ain't perfect. Most of the time it's out of our hands. It's all how you work it. So make God laugh, tell him your plan. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Once you fall, you can't take it back. Where we're heading, if anyone guess, it's life, it's love, it's a beautiful man. A little bit of soul, a whole lot of love. A little bit of push and a whole lot of shove. Takes a whole lot of no, getting to yes. It ain't always pretty.
Nothing like a little chaos, McLowry. Beautiful mess. Woo! From Lisa McLowry Sings Acoustic Alchemy. And I was just telling my sister friend from Texas here, Miss Griselda, that I really appreciate what Lisa McLowry does. She is a beautiful mess in her own way. She just embraces it. She's doing her own thing. Ain't nobody going to categorize what she does. And I'll tell you what, for her to get the sanction of Greg and Miles from Acoustic Alchemy to go ahead and for them to be so pleased with the results, putting vocals to their songs, I mean, these cats have been around for a while, and they really dug what she did. And of course, she had help doing it, and we're going to find out all that information because Lisa's going to spend time with me on the show on September the 6th. Looking forward to that because she's got some irons in the fire, and we're going to be trading off some good news that day. So make sure you circle that day on your calendar, September the 6th. And I have to say thank you because I don't know if I expected it or not, but she sent me a Beautiful Mess T-shirt. It came yesterday, and it's gorgeous. So now, and maybe she'll be hearing this, I'll have to decide on where I will wear it because there's three little invites that I got this weekend. I can't go to all three. So we'll see if we'll get worn to the Bobby Caldwell show at Ram's Head in Annapolis, or to the Gerald Veasley and Friends show in Mount Gretna, PA, or to the Terrence Blanchard Blues Alley show in D.C. One of those places, the T-shirt will be worn, so pictures will be provided on Facebook. We heard from Eldar. Wow, this is the first time playing this cat. He's a piano prodigy. Played at the age of 3. You heard Point of View from his self-titled CD, his third release. He is a rare breed. He's only, 25 years old. You heard that playing, right? Who played with him? Michael Brecker. So this was when Michael was still kicking it. This was 2005, right? So do the math at how old Eldar was at that time. He is from the country. Oh, please forgive me. I have never pronounced this on any radio show before. Kyrgyzstan. Okay? One of the stands over there. He moved to Kansas City at the age of 10 through a mentorship, and then Dr. Billy Taylor and Benny Carter heard him, and he just progressed in his ability. He's just crazy. If you go to his website, his last name, by the way, is Djangirov, Djangirov. You will see all sorts of dates that are astounding. This young man is just crazy. John Patitucci on bass and Todd Strait on drums. Eldar was the youngest person ever to be on Marion McPartland's NPR award-winning show, her radio show. So it really does count for something. And then the interplay of sound between Michael Brecker and him, crazy, crazy. Mongo Santa Maria started things off. Mercy, from a tunage done back in the 50s. Mongo, born in April of 1917, passed in 2003. What he accomplished in his life is just astounding. And a little story. I told this before, but I love this story. First of all, the premier, Conguero, learned rumba, quinto, when he was in Cuba, back in the Jesus Maria Barrio, and just got immersed in Afro-Cuban Latin rhythms, and found his way to New York in 1950. Tito Puente found him, and Cal Jader found him, and played with both of those guys. Integral in the fusion of Afro-Cuban with rhythm and blues. And here's one of the favorite stories I have of anybody in jazz, 1963. Chick Corea couldn't make this date, so things were rearranged, and Herbie Hancock was playing at this club. Donald Byrd came to see how Herbie was doing, and Mongo Santa Maria was there. So Herbie overheard this conversation between Donald Byrd and Mongo. Donald says to Mongo, "Listen, tell me about the correlation of Cuban rhythms with African American jazz. What do you think about that?" And Herbie said, "Oh, it's a little too heady for me. I was over here in the conversation, but he said I didn't get too involved." So Donald turns to Herbie and says, "Why don't you play that song you're working on, Watermelon Man?" So Herbie goes to the piano, and Mongo hears it and goes, "Wow, I'm going to sit in." So he started doing the percussion thing, started kicking it, people started to get up and dance, and the rest is history. Watermelon Man exploded, and here was this fabulous fusion with all this Afro-Cuban soul and the jazz and Havana meets America. It was just nuts. And Mongo said something really important. He said, "If you are not there, if you are not around the music, you can't fake it. You can't be someplace else and pretend that you know what's happening in Havana, for example. Woo! Them's fighting words in some circles, but man, I think he's got a point. So, good stuff. And Sahara comes your way at the last hour of the show, so it's about 24 after the first hour. Have to give them a little time to wake up. Everybody's still sleeping in Australia, okay? So it's just going to be wild. We tried to think of a time, and Trish Long said, let's push it till the end of the show. So we're going to get a song in before Dave and Trish come on, and then we'll play two during that last hour. It'll be really cool. Lionel Hampton, you talk about cool. Let us go back in time, but not too far back. 1991, these gentlemen were called golden, Lionel Hampton and the Golden Men of Jazz, not because they had made their mark in jazz, but because they had gained in age. A lot of wisdom in this playing, a lot of really good memories. The classic Lionel Hampton song here, Flying Home, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
About your loving, the sunny evenings, the fun we used to share, looking through the memories in my mind. Since I've laughed and cried and thought it over, now I realize that it's never over, only set aside.
That's okay, baby. Mama will fix that. Oh, the only bad thing about that song, you know what I'm going to say, right? It's too short. Yeah, that song, such a favorite. My bride from California said it's one of her favorites, and she speaks for many. Woo! 1981, ladies and gentlemen. The Clark Duke Project, as in George Duke, as in Stanley Clark. I am just tickled to tell you that George is taking a little break right now, but not for long. Stanley, I'm not exactly sure. I think he's taking a little break, too. Stanley's got to update his website. Lou, if you're listening in New Jersey, please tell your friend. Mr. Lou and I are going to be making the trek next Wednesday to Vienna, Virginia. George and Stanley, along with Boney James, are going to be doing a swell concert at Wolf Trap, and it's going to be really fun because this will be the first time I will meet Stanley Clark. Lou and I will be meeting for the first time. Lou and I are Facebook friends. He's from Philly, lives in New Jersey now. He and Stanley used to go to Roxborough High School in Philadelphia together, and that's where my Uncle Al lived. And we used to go to Al and Catherine's house all the time. So we'll all have stuff to talk about. And poor George will be sitting in the corner feeling left out. Somebody's going to go over and talk to him, right? Raising hand. Yeah, it's going to be real interesting. And then after Wolf Trap, they're going to go to the Coltrane Jazz and Blues Fest in High Point, North Carolina. Something else, huh? Speaking of Coltrane, Carl Filippiak on guitar did such a great job with Giant Steps on 2002's Looking Forward, Looking Back CD. Carl, we had on the show a couple of months ago, and just so revered in this region, I can't even say. Playing a lot of dates, my God, at the Jazz Festival at the Village of Shirlington in Arlington, Virginia on the 30th, Jazz at the Detour Winery. We have a place in Maryland called Detour. Ah, that's so cool. And then Carl's going to be playing with Lafayette Gilchrist on piano and Lafayette's group. And we'll have more on that because hopefully we'll get Mr. Gilchrist on the show. Looking forward to a lot of these cats being on the show. Oh, this show is really taking a turn. In 2 days, it will mark the one-year anniversary of Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. So there's a lot going on, including next Tuesday, it will be the world premiere of UNAM and Friends, their tribute to George Benson. So UNAM, who is from France but makes his home in California or goes back and forth, we'll learn a lot about that because he's got so much on his plate. And when you hear this music, it will bowl you over, seriously. It's just so popping out of the box, I can't even tell you. Don't ever anybody refer to UNAM as smooth jazz because I'm going to put my hands around their throat. The Friends and he have combined to make this explosive series of songs. What they've done to Nature Boy, Alison Crockett did something when she was here on the show a few weeks ago, and UNAM and buddies have turned it around in another direction. Man, I know Nat King Cole's head is spinning. Bless their hearts. I just love to hear the creativity. God, it's so sweet. And we heard Lionel Hampton and the Golden Men of Jazz live at the Blue Note, 1991. Lionel Hampton had an idea for a song, got together with Benny Goodman and Eddie DeLange, and did the song. It became huge. Lionel was whistling the song because of his fear of flying the first time. So Flying Home became the end product. On that particular song, Milt Hinton, Grady Tate, Buddy Tate, James Moody, Al Gray, Clark Terry, Harry Sweets Edison, and Hank Jones. I think the only one that hadn't hit 70 in that group was Grady Tate. Just so sweet. We just love to mix it up here and play in the domestic and the global and the straight and the silky and the fused, whatever is going on. And we're going to go back a little bit to Sonny Rollins. And I'm so psyched. I wish I could go. Everybody in this chat room wishes they could go to the Detroit Jazz Festival because, Haas, this is a jazz festival coming up next weekend. Sonny Rollins will be there. This is going back to 2006. Sonny, please, which is what his late wife used to say to him all the time. This is Someday I'll Find You on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Sahara comes up at the top of the last hour.
Thank you. Thank you.
Get a hold of one of these songs, and whatever the reasons are, it takes you someplace that you may or may not be able to say in mixed company. Now, that song right there, that is the ultimate behind closed doors song, because I'm imagining that Barry White's in one corner and Isaac Hayes is in the other going, Carol Riddick doing the vocals there. Love is Still in Style from the CD called The Shed from David P. Stevens on guitar. Man, David does not know what he has done with that, because he probably wishes that I would spend more time on other pieces of music that he has done. He's got a new CD coming out. This was back in 2008. But I am so stuck in that groove because the combination of David's guitar and that voice. Carol is going to be part of the Evening with the Gerald Veasley Band this weekend, particularly Saturday, at the Mount Gretna Playhouse in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. Gerald, Carol, and Kieli Minucci. Stop it! Yes, that is true. And David, David's doing his own thing. He's part of this new Philadelphia scene. Carol's from Philadelphia, too. Of course, Gerald is. Ah, my peeps. David P. Stevens and I go back and forth about the state of jazz and the frustration that we feel in different arenas as far as it's concerned. So he's got a lot to say, and he's trying to do so much in Philly. He's got a new album coming soon, and he's going to be someplace on Saturday as well. And I wanted to tell you, because I just want to make sure that my brother is covered. Saturday at the King Sessing Recreation Center, featuring Shamika Bird, who's doing some work with him these days. He's got a new feel about what jazz should be, and really likes the idea of the old cats meeting with the new cats and making sure there's a fresh and lively difference. Amen. Woo-hoo! We also heard Eric Essex. Wasn't enough that he was with us on the show the other day. Had to play a tune that just struck me from the brand new CD, self-titled Eric Essex. That was Elle Marie. Isn't that pretty? And I want to make sure that I get the right vocalist there, because I didn't even think about doing that. Shame on me. But just to let you know who's playing on that track, written by Eric and Sean Michael Ray on bass, and P.J. Spraggins, who is a dear, and he's got a new CD too. He's on drums, Kelvin Wooten's on keyboard and percussion, and Charmaretta Hayes-Timothy is on vocals. Love that. Love that when the right tune has got that background vocal that just makes the right difference. Elle Marie. And Sonny Rollins to start the set, 82 years young this year. Someday I'll Find You from Sonny Plea, 2006. Listen, you got to know who's coming to this Detroit Jazz Festival. Can you imagine all these folks congregated in one area? Happening next weekend, the 30th, and goes for 3 days. Sonny Rollins is kicking off the day with Terrence Blanchard. Hello! And then Chick Corea and Gary Burton with the Harlem String Quartet, Wynton Marsalis, the Mack Avenue Super Band with Tia Fuller, Alfredo Rodriguez, and Sean Jones. Hope he shows up. Anyway, Pat Metheny is also going to be there, a little private joke. And Wayne Shorter, Pancho Sanchez. It is crazy. Joe Lovano. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what you call a jazz festival. Okay? Yeah. Now we're going to take you on a little trip. Not only is it sufficient that we have Sahara coming up for you at the top of next hour, we've got the coffee and donuts ready. It's 5 a.m. Australia time next hour, 4 a.m. right now, and they really wanted to make sure that their voices were heard. Now, mind you, this is different. What Trish and Dave Long do is really not simpatico with even contemporary jazz. But the mix of what they do, and it harkens very definitely, a lot of my folks that are listening, and especially in the chat room, will appreciate this. It takes you on a journey, seriously, back to the 1980s, maybe Simple Minds, maybe a lighter version of Asia. You have the backdrop of where they grew up, Ireland, and that ethereal, that darker climate. Then they go to Australia, where it's sunnier, and the mix is there. It's so sweet and spiritual, and it's so different that I think it will be compelling for you to hear. Sahara is the name of that duo, Trish and Dave. But I wanted to take you on another little journey for this next three-song set. And we're going to go to Cape Verde. We're going to go to Brazil. And we'll have a voice from Brazil and some folks who took a journey there to get the feel. So you'll appreciate this. We're going to start off with Horace Silver. I just love the song. From the absolutely etched in stone in jazz CD, Song from My Father. This is called Que Pasa on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
toda menina baiana tem jeito de deusar.
Toda menina baiana tem defeito também de deusar.
Entendeu te dar a primazia,
pro bem pro mal, primeira mão na Bahia,
primeira missa, primeiro hino, a partir também que deu Deus.
Que Deus entendeu te dar toda a magia,
pro bem pro mal, primeiro chão na Bahia,
primeiro carnaval, primeiro pelourinho também que Deus deu.
Ah, que Deus deu, oh, oh, que Deus dá. Ah, que Deus deu, oh, oh, que Deus dá. Ah, que Deus deu, oh, oh, que Deus dá. Ah, que Deus deu, oh, oh.
Toda menina baiana tem santo que Deus dá.
Toda menina baiana tem encantos que Deus dá.
Toda menina baiana tem um jeito que Deus dá.
Toda menina baiana tem defeitos também que Deus dá.
Dar a primazia,
pro bem pro mal, primeira mão na Bahia,
primeira missa, primeiro índio abatido também que Deus deu.
Que Deus entendeu de dar toda a magia,
pro bem pro mal, primeiro chão na Bahia,
primeiro carnaval,
primeiro pelourinho também
que Deus deu.
Ah, que Deus deu, oh, oh, que Deus dá.
Ah, que Deus deu, oh, oh, que Deus dá.
Ah, que Deus deu, oh, oh, que Deus dá.
Ah, que Deus deu, oh, oh, que Deus dá.
Ah, que Deus deu, oh, oh, que Deus dá.
Elias's 2010 CD, Light My Fire, and she does sing that song too. That was not it. That was along with her friend, the great Gilberto Gil, Toda Menina Baiana. Woo! Eliana, oh my God, composer, singer, writer, pianist, mentor, a Brazilian national treasure. You hear me? Mercy. At the age of 7 on piano, she had a career when she was 17. Excuse me, she was teaching when she was 15. Just so respected, I can't even say. If you get a chance to see her in the States, do, wherever you are in the world. Oh, she is a revelation. Seriously, she just makes everything seem so effortless. This whole Light My Fire CD, some of it in Portuguese, some of it in English. She just has such a feel and a warmth to her. It's mesmerizing. She's so beautiful, too. Just a real earthy, passionate, and give all that she can woman on stage. Amazing. Stan Getz and Charlie Bird. I like to say Charlie Bird first because he's the one who made it happen. He is the one who made that happen. Iluxo So, an Ari Barroso song from the incredible Jazz Samba album from 1962 on Verve Records. Amazing. Who would have ever thunk this scenario? Charlie Bird, based in the D.C. area, was friends with another DJ, Felix Grant. And Charlie, being the consummate guitarist that he is and searching for new music, talked to Felix. Felix had a back-and-forth conversation going on with Paulo Santos in Brazil. And Felix said, Charlie, you would not believe the music coming out of Brazil right now. There's just such a new vibe here. It's just colossal. So Charlie went on a diplomatic tour in 61 and fell in love with what he heard. He, in turn, tapped his good friend Stan Getz on the shoulder and said, you know what, I think you better take a listen to this, because this is some smashing music. So Charlie and Stan had a sit-down at Charlie's house. Stan said, let's record some of this. At All Souls Unitarian Church in D.C., they did just that, with Keeter Betts on bass, Joe Bird also on bass, two drummers, Buddy Deppenschmidt and Bill Reichenbach. Got together to do Jazz Samba, and it is etched in history. Oh, Lord, I just love the two German drummers doing Brazilian music. Such a trip. We also heard, oh, what did we hear? Horace Silver, Horace Ward Martin Tavares Silva, changed his name. His dad, just so beloved, and what a background. Dad had come from Cape Verde. Mom was Irish and African-American, and this background with the African and the gospel and the Latin stuff in his bloodstream just turned out this amazing music, and he's still with us. I love the fact that Horace Silver is 84 this year, and if you go to his wonderful website, you'll see that he has quite a bit to say about his inspiration and where still he draws the inspiration. He's got an autobiography, Let's Get to the Nitty Gritty, and he lays it all out. We heard Que Pasa from Song from My Father on Blue Note, and one of these days, I'm working on it, I'm hoping that we get Horace Silver on the air with us, because I am all about these legends. We need to glory these folks when they are still with us. His birthday is the 2nd of September, so if you happen to be thinking on that day, say a little prayer for Horace Silver that he stays with us some more. Love him. 1965 for that project. And we're going to try to get to a few more projects, shall we? Let's do a little John McLaughlin and Chick Corea, shall we? Someday My Prince Will Come. Please, God. this is from Five Piece Band. This is live. Oh, this is so sweet. Check this out on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy with special guests Trish and Dave Long from Sahara at the top of next hour.
Thank you. what I would not do. My friends wonder what is wrong with me. Well, I'm in the days from your love, you see.
Well, apparently that song has caused some melting in Texas. I'm sorry, Griselda. No, I'm not. We had to play Bobby Caldwell. Oh, yes, we did. Not only because he just had a birthday on the 15th, but because my friend Andrew New from Philadelphia reminded me that Bobby was coming to our region, to Annapolis at Ram's Head this Saturday, and Andrew will be playing with him. Yay! So it makes it that much harder to figure out, okay, what am I going to do? There are some really hot events happening this weekend and next. Lord have mercy. What you won't do for love. You know, I think about Bobby more often than I really care to admit, and especially in regard to this song. Can you imagine? Now, there are people in this position, to be sure, but saw Bobby at Cap Jazz a few years ago, didn't have a chance to talk with him, although I think that we are aware of each other, and hopefully if I get a chance to go on Saturday, we'll cement that. But Bobby has had this 30-plus years career. You know he can never leave the stage without doing this song. And this is back in 1978. And the circumstances of the song are such that it's just funny because the debut album was complete. The owner of the label said to Bobby, you know what, I'm not hearing a hit on this debut of yours. So, of course, you hear that, you're disheartened. He thought for sure, at least one song was going to be a hit. So he put something together in a very short time. And what that was is What You Won't Do for Love. So nobody saw what kind of a hit it was coming. And how many times has that song been sampled? How many times have you heard somebody else do that song? Crazy. Bobby, just so you know, was born in Manhattan to Bob and Carolyn Caldwell, who were hosts of Suppertime, an early TV show. So Bobby spent his childhood in Memphis and Miami, of course New York to start out, and he just got all of that inside of him. I cannot tell you. Oh, I laugh at this so much because when I was working at WSMJ, the smooth jazz station, in Baltimore, no longer, as is the case with so many, I had people come up to me and say, "Wow, you're Trish." Yes. And I grew to understand what the next part of that question was. It was a statement. I didn't think you were white. So Bobby gets that too. I just had a good friend of mine say less than a year ago, "Did you know that Bobby Caldwell was white?" Oh, it's so funny. Bobby probably gets this all the time because, you know, he gets played on soul stations, R&B stations, as well as jazz, wherever they're playing jazz these days. It's just so funny. And Bobby, he's 61. He's still got a lot of life in those years to be turning out these songs. I'm just wondering how his show is going to be Saturday. Griselda in the chat room said she has seen him twice, and this will be maybe the third time for me. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. I'll let you know. Andrew, if you're listening, hold on to your hats, honey. I'm still wondering about it. Now, we also heard from Elliot Levine, who is one of our regional wonders, a keyboard wizard. You heard him do the Floetry song, Say Yes, from his 2004 CD, The Funk, The Whole Funk, and Nothing But The Funk. There's an N in there. Behave yourself. Elliot is doing his thing touring with Heatwave, but he's doing a lot of gigs on his own. Elliot, 1T, Levine.com has more information. John McLaughlin and Chick Corea, five-piece band live. Someday my prince will come. Post-jazz bop fusion, if you will. Kenny Garrett on sax. Christian McBride on bass. And I cannot keep up with Chick Corea, what he's doing, either with Stanley or with Gary Burton or with Jack DeJohnette. It's really crazy. Chick and company will be the headliners next weekend at the Detroit Jazz Festival, so check that out. Stanley, we've talked about. We'll see him next week. And John McLaughlin, oh, my God, whoa. He's touring with Fourth Dimension, and if you go to his website, it's a whole another story. You will be catapulted into another existence, and I promise you. And I have promised that we would play an East Bay soul song each show until this Kickstarter campaign is through. If you go to Kickstarter.com, you will learn how you can fund East Bay Soul 3. They did it last year. The guys, Greg Adams and company, Daryl Walker's been on it as far as making folks aware of this endeavor, so I'm making you aware of it too. And we're going to play East Bay Soul, something from 2.0, and then we're going to zip into something by Sahara, who joins us in less than 10 minutes. I'm so excited! My Irish friends who live in Australia, oh my gosh, music is really compelling. First, Brassalicious, baby! On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Let me tell you something. When I first heard that song from Sahara's There Is This Place I Go, I just stopped what I was doing because, you know, you find yourself multitasking when you hear a CD for the first time. I stopped what I was doing, and I just sat in my chair and cried. It was so beautiful. There is a passage there. It says you can't always do the things you could, you thought you could. And it just hits you so much. There's so much compelling music on this particular CD, and I've been waiting for such a while to have my friend Trish Long on the show because there's something about her music combined with her husband Dave Long. Together they form Sahara, multi-instrumentalists, and just really a very cool success story from Ireland to Australia. It's my pleasure to give you the folks that just gave you The Road Less Traveled, one of the songs on this brand new CD, There Is This Place I Go. This is Sahara. Welcome, Trish and Dave.
And hello to you, Trish.
Oh, my God, it's so cool to hear your voice.
I'm delighted to be talking to you at long last.
I know. We have been...
It feels like a road that's been long traveled.
It does. And especially, we have to tell people, Trish, that we have been poking each other for months.
do we need to explain what that means?
I don't think so. I think everybody here is quite aware.
I think they are familiar, yes. Yes, yes. There's nothing wrong with it.
No, and you know, poking is a really gentle sort of way of keeping in touch, and I'm always so tickled when I see that you've done it.
I know, I think it's great. It's like that sort of like, you know, hello first thing in the morning. Oh, hello.
Exactly.
It's really nice, and you don't have to say anything. I think it's very clever, very clever indeed.
I do too, and I always know when it's sort of your bedtime because you poke me at that time.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, you never know with us, our strange hours. You know, musicians are really renowned for their strange hours, so you never know what we're doing.
I know.
I don't
so let me
even know sometimes.
Exactly. And that leads me to the first question. You and Dave, you're doing well in Australia. Did you play last night? I hope not.
No, not last night. No. So
okay.
We did get our sleep. We did get our quota. We got a few hours.
I am so glad.
This is good.
It really is.
We've actually been chained to the studio lately.
Oh, you have?
We've sort of locked ourselves in, because we've been promoting this album that you've just played a track from, which is This Is Place I Go. But we also, we've just re-recorded an album, which was of songs that we wrote while we were on the road traveling around Australia, because we did that for quite a few years. And these songs came to us while we were traveling. Now, we did a release while we were doing touring, but we decided, we had this opportunity in the studio to fully re-record the album for international release. So we have just this week finished all the recording, all the mixing, the artwork, everything, and it's going to be ready for release in, you know, about a month or two maybe, by the time it gets out there into the shops. So, yes, so we've been really working hard on that. And we've also got a brand new album to follow that, which all we have to do is, I think, Dave, a few vocals left and then mixing. So honest to God, we've been sort of, and we've written another album to follow that one. So, you see, we're sort of completely confused. As Dave says here, I'll pass the phone to him in a minute, but, you know, we're happy to say we're mad. Yeah, we've accepted the fact now, and, you know, we've come clean. Well, Matt.
but isn't that awesome that you, after all this time, because there has been some kind of journey involved with you and Dave, it's such a high to hear you. I know that you're probably just so excited, and that's contagious. Thank God that you're still excited about turning out this music and how important it is to you.
I know. I don't think I can actually explain to people what it does to you. And I can't explain the fact that you don't actually have a choice in the matter, you know.
Right.
For years, we had to sustain ourselves naturally, doing day jobs and things like that. And eventually, you do burn out, as a lot of independent musicians, and hopefully, maybe there might be even some listening in today, they'll be nodding their heads going, oh, yes, been there, done that. You have your nervous breakdowns just about trying to keep all the hours up, and you can't. And eventually, you want to, part of you says, a normal lifestyle is good, it's easy. And the other part of you says, but I can't do it. I have to do the music. It doesn't matter if I have to leave my homeland, leave everybody, go out on the road, have, you know, awkward times without money, all that goes with it, which I have to admit, there are times where it's not much fun. But you've got this ridiculous driving force, which you just can't deny. It just won't let you go.
Mm,
you haven't got a
wow.
choice. And you have to do it. And it, the amazing part is what you just said, is I don't know where the enthusiasm comes from, but it's always there. And it's your saving grace, to be honest with you. It's the one thing that drags you through the hard times is this enthusiasm. It's there the minute you're waking up in the morning. It's like, ah, yeah, great. And you're off, and that's it. It just keeps you going through the day. Best part of our day is that whenever we can have rehearsals together, which is just about most days, but sometimes it's not. But I mean, that's the best, you know, opening up the instruments, taking them out. I can't believe that for so many years I can still open up the instruments and look and go, ah, you know, grab it. and still love them with the same feeling I had the day I bought my first instrument. It's there. It's just like it's an extension of yourself. It's like it's your children. It's everything. It's everything you love wrapped up in an object. And that's because you know that as soon as you start playing, there's a life force. It's not just an instrument. It actually becomes a life force.
It's beautiful
and
to hear
really,
you say.
It doesn't leave you. It doesn't go anywhere. That is an intrinsic part of you when you're a musician. And it goes for any artist. It goes for people who are writing, painting, acting, whatever it is. It's that same creative force. It's in everybody who's involved in the arts. It's you know, communal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you explained it better than mostly anybody has ever explained it. And I really appreciate that because it's really, really difficult for someone who is a non-music person who merely listens and is not an artist to understand that you didn't choose it. It has chosen you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would actually call it, you know, the old fashioned word was, they used to talk about religious things, they'd say a vocation. Well, I'd say it's along those lines. It is a calling. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
But then, you see, we rely on people who to appreciate music. See, people like yourself, there's that equal enthusiasm, which equally amazes us. We go, my gosh, you know, you can really get into the music or into whatever it is, like whatever creative activity that you appreciate, that your enthusiasm, it's like a matching of enthusiasms and this is what makes life worthwhile.
It does.
You know,
it does.
People have to get involved in life. They have to get enthusiastic about something. They have to use their energy. And this is, the more you put out, the more you get back.
You are so right. And I think that I needed that reminder because it basically, it translates, Trish, into positivity. That's what it really translates into.
Yes. Yes, and we all need that, and we do all need a jolt. You know that? Every one of us, every so often, we'll sort of got sliding down, things aren't working out, something's going wrong, why isn't that break? Why did that break down today? You know, all that sort of thing. And then somebody does something, and you go, oh, of course, there's more to life than these little petty worries that I have. You know.
Yeah. And you.
And it is so important.
You are such a radical. You are a hero, probably to a lot of people that you don't suspect hold you on that pedestal, because how long has it been that you have been playing that saxophone? You were playing a saxophone when other females wouldn't have even considered it.
Yes. Yeah, well, now, actually, it is. It's hard to conceive that these days, because I know there are so many. It's not even something that you question. A female on saxophone is like, oh, yes, why not?
Right.
Now, the funny part was, before I bought the saxophone, I went into, because I didn't really know much about it. You see, I was 16 years of age. I didn't know any musicians or anything. So I'd saved up my money. I'd been listening to pirate radio at night time, you know, in my bed. I had a little transistor, and I'd be listening to jazz. And I was going, like, what's this instrument? And then I saw one day I had a recording of the Pink Panther, and that was it for me. That was it. I have to have this instrument. And it was just, I really wanted that. I went into a music store. I was a bit shy, and I was asking about how much is the saxophone, you know. And you see, the best thing of all was there was an old guy serving, and he looked at me and he said, women can't play saxophones.
Oh!
And I looked at him, and you see, being the youngest of a family of five, I've got four older brothers, you see, the one thing you do say to me is, a girl can't do that. And you see, that'll be it for me. That's it. Well, now I'm going to show you that I can. So that was actually, that added to my real enthusiasm. I said, right, I'm going to show this old guy that you're wrong. Why can't a woman do it? You see, I used to get so annoyed about things like that, you know, and I said, well, that's it. So anyway, I bought the saxophone without knowing anything about it or how to play it, but I had bought a small book saying how to play the saxophone. And so before I could actually buy the saxophone, I was practicing without a saxophone, if you can imagine that. It's absolutely mad. But I knew where all the keys were, so as I knew the minute I got one, I'd just start playing. And it was just, I don't even know where I got that. I don't know where I even thought I'd be able to do it. It just amazes me. I don't know what was inside me, but funnily enough, I was able to do it. So.
That is crazy. Now, wait a minute. Go back. So how were you practicing before it arrived?
Well, I think today you would call it air saxophone playing.
Oh, my God.
I actually hold it. Yeah,
you were visualizing this.
Instrument.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I pretend I had the instrument. I looked at the book. I looked at what the different notes were, and I just practiced with my fingers, and I'd practice holding my breath so as I'd extend my lungs a bit more. I just did everything you would do if you had the instrument until I could afford to buy one. And then when I had it, funnily enough, it worked. I actually knew all the notes. I was actually able to play the scales. I was able to play a tune that night, which, you know, is a bit unusual. But it just goes to show that if you really want something, work towards it. Think about it. Do everything that you would do if you had whatever it was. And it's a good preparation.
You are the embodiment of the secret. You really are.
I don't know what that means, but I hope it's good.
No. You know Rhonda Byrne, who is from Australia and who wrote The Secret. She basically said exactly what you said in her book, and then it became audio, and then the movie. She said that you have to believe that it's going to happen. You pretend as if it's already there, and then it will manifest itself.
Yep. And it is true. And it did. Well, it worked for me anyway.
My gosh, that is amazing. Well, you've just gone even higher in my estimation now, because
God, I thought it means a bigger fall. No, thank you.
That is wonderful.
Yeah,
because
grand, don't worry.
you really did operate from a child's heart. You really believed. You thought, okay, it's a simple thing. Let's get really simple about this. I am just gonna do an air saxophone, and when it comes, I'll know how to play it, and that's it.
Yep, and it was that, and believe it or not, it really was that easy. It really was. So I guess if you really are determined, and where I got this determined, and where, you know, I'll think back now as an adult and think, who did I think I was thinking I'd just be able to? But I just felt inside, I had such a love for the instrument. I adored music, always wanted to have an instrument. So it just all fell into place. It really did, but I never gave up believing and wanting and the passion and being ready to do the work as soon as I got on. I had this thing that I was going to practice a half an hour every single day without fail. And I did all those things then when I got the instrument. And then, of course, it just grew from there. And I was very lucky about that.
And Trish, you know, something needs to be mentioned about your courage, you and Dave both, because, you know, being the mother of Tiernan Eugene Hennessy Flaherty and never having been to the Emerald Isle and my roots.
There's a right Irish name you've got.
Oh,
that's a great name.
For sure. And we've never been there, and I want to take them there, and I feel compelled. There's a real longing to go. How difficult was it for you and Dave to leave your land? You left Ireland to go to Australia. Did you have a lump in your throat when you did that?
I died that day. I seriously felt that I had died. To be honest
with
you, I found it really hard. Yeah. I know I probably embarrassed Dave totally, because from Dublin Airport to Heathrow in London, where we did the changeover to get on a plane to Australia, I was crying copiously. I had tissues that were drenched. I was absolutely terrible, and I knew I would be, because I never imagined growing up that I'd have to leave Ireland. I just never. It was, I'd read, you know, in the history books, and then they had to migrate, and then they had to leave, and there was, you know, famines, everything, all the problems there was in Ireland, people always leaving. And I remember sitting in school thinking, well, at least I won't have to, you know. Thanks be to God for that. And then it happened that we did have to, and I found it, you know, really difficult, and I really felt I'd never be able to go through something like that again. It just really wrenched my heart out. But it had to be done. And then, you know, we got to Australia, and to be honest with you, the Australians were so welcoming. And, you know, within months we were doing performances. We're so grateful to Australia giving us such an opportunity, because I don't even know if we would have the music career that we have today without things falling into place when we got here, and the Australians being just so open and welcome. And we didn't even know this, but when we arrived here, we didn't realize the Australians, they love the Irish as well. They really do. They really have a place in their heart for Irish people. But leaving Ireland was a killer. It was really hard. It is a very, very, very special country. I know it's only a small little island, but it is really, there's something very spiritual about Ireland. There's something about the land. And if you do get an opportunity, I have to say, it is worth it. It definitely is, because I can't imagine being somebody like yourself with an Irish ancestry. There's got to be some sort of a pull. There has to be some magnet there that says, oh, I really need to see this homeland, you know?
Oh, yeah. And you know what?
I can imagine it.
They're making it, from what I understand, Irish tourism now is making it especially attractive for anybody who has Irish roots or who feel compelled to go. I've never seen a warm extension from another country like this. There's a special subdivision of tourism that's beckoning people to come. Yes. Yeah, it's got a particular name, and I should have written it down, but there's been so much going on, and I knew that it was going to be a wonderful time to spend with you. I don't even know if we can cover everything in an hour. You got, when you and Dave came to Australia, you really got the attention of some folks that need to be mentioned, because the Little River Band really does respect your work, as does Martin Taylor. How did that happen? That's wonderful.
Oh, look, when we first arrived out here, we were sort of in a large regional city, or town, more than city, and it had an art center, quite a large, a very nice performing arts center. We were in the area a few months at the time. We'd actually initially done an outdoor performance where some people had seen us, and they got a bit excited about, you know, because the Irish sound and the fact that it was original music. And we, the Little River Band, were just coming back out on the scene. They'd released an album, and I think they were doing, what was the Monsoon Tour? I think it was called the Monsoon Tour. And they were coming. Sahara and the Monsoon. Oh. But anyway, they were coming out to this performing arts centre, and the manager of the arts centre, we'd played a tape of our music for him, and he said, look, it would be just great to have you come on and do a guest spot when they come into town. And we were going like the little river band. Our hearts just about stopped because, I mean, they've written some fantastic music and they were a brilliant band. And, like, we were beside ourselves saying, my God, we've arrived in Australia and we're going to play to one of our favourite Australian acts. So so we were pretty, I can tell you, nervous. Well, I was just about shaking. But, you know, the experience was wonderful. I mean, you know, we performed, the people liked us, which was great. Then they come on. And then we were asked, they decided to do this art centre again about 6 months later because there was so much demand. They said they'd come back again. And we were asked, would we do it again? We said, would we do it again?
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
So then, actually, we came back to do the second appearance, and we saw the musicians from the band and the lead singer. And in the changing rooms after we performed, you know, one of them came over to us and said, you know, we actually came down early so we could see you this time. We were like,
wow!
So, I mean, that was such you know, people like that don't have to do anything, you know what I mean? But for them to bother to actually hang around, even the drummer gave Dave like a high five, and so they were just, and the lead guitarist was jamming away with them using the background. We were just totally like blown away with how kind they were, how generous they were with their comments and supportive to us. So, yeah, that will always stick with us, and it's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. It was very, very supportive. But what a thrill! What a thrill!
Well, you know what? Like attracts like, Trish, and that's the bottom line. They recognized in you and Dave something really special, and you're right. They would not bother unless they gravitated to what they thought was extra special, because there's a lot of people playing, as you know. I imagine that the club scene in Australia is insane, but... For those guys to take the time to spend extra time and attention to you, that means a lot.
Yeah, well, it also says a lot about them. To be honest, you know, it was just such a nice gesture. They didn't have to even acknowledge us, you know. I mean, we could have just done it and gone off. But yeah, I'll always remember that. That is really kind. Martin Taylor is a superb jazz guitarist. And we actually recognized when we were in Melbourne at the time. We'd already moved up to the city, and there was a jazz club there where we'd already had some residencies. And I remember the manager of the club said to us, oh, you know, he says, there's this UK jazz guitarist, and he might be doing a show here. And says, do you know his name? And we said, Martin Taylor. I mean, he played with Stephen Grappelli, and we'd seen him on television in Ireland and everything. We were like, oh, my God, yes, he's brilliant. So he turned around then and said, oh, play. Well, look, you know, would you do a guest spot with him? And here we were going like, what?
Wow.
So again, it was like one of these just in the right place at the right time for that. And it was just great. And then when we met up with Martin Taylor, a lovely guy, had a great old chat. And what was really funny was he had his hair in a ponytail at the time, and Dave had his hair in a ponytail at the time. Both of them had it tied back in a ponytail, and they actually had a sort of similar look. And people were coming up and saying, is that Martin's brother? And I was saying, no, that's Dave, because Dave was getting up with his guitar. And it was just so funny seeing the two of them, like, you know, and people asking us, and then they thought, well, we were from England with him, and we were saying, no, we're here in Melbourne. So it was just a funny thing, but again, a really nice guy, and there was a lovely audience came along to the shows as well. So again, it was a great experience.
That is so wonderful to hear. I'm so glad that you're being embraced, because there is, and I know that it's on the website, and I can't necessarily quote, but Trish, I was so taken with the description of your music. I really feel so strongly that, you know, here you and Dave were immersed, because it's home, in this ethereal, moody, this darker climate of your native land, and then you come to sunnier Australia, where things are opening up and there's new gateways, and you've kind of combined
those forces to make your music. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Well, we were being asked quite often, what impact has living in Australia had on your music? And when you're asked those questions, you do actually have to sit back and have a good think. And that's when I think we sort of realized that, yes, there is this, as everybody knows who listens to the Irish music, there's the two sides. There's your jigs and reels, which are all up and, you know, all that sort of thing. And then there is this terrific, what I would call a melancholy to the music,
mm-hmm.
because
yes.
Ireland does have a lot, there is a lot of sadness. There has been a lot of struggle for such a small country.
Yes.
And it is embodied with the music. So naturally, growing up there, it's going to be in our DNA, to be honest. It's there. And then when you come to somewhere like Australia, which Australia is a new country. It is a young country. It's a very young country. And they were actually celebrating their bicentennial the year we arrived. We arrived at the end of 87, but 88 was their big bicentennial year. And
my goodness.
So there's this openness and there's this excitement still, and there's this we're still feeling our way type of thing, and we'll give everything a shot. And you know, you've come from a country where, oh, we've learned our lessons, we're not going to try that, to a country where, oh, look, we'll try anything, you know. So it's complete opposites that way. They are complete opposites, and it's going to impact on you. And no matter how much you think, oh no, we're still writing our music, you're going to it's infectious. You're going to pick up on what's happening around you, on the circumstances around you, and of course it's going to make its way into the music, without a doubt.
Yeah. Oh, it has. It's just been an experience to listen to what you and Dave have done, and the culmination of years that you've been working together. It's just so mind-boggling to conceive of that. I wanted to play a song while I had you. I gravitated to certain songs on the CD, and we're talking to Trish Long from Sahara, and going to play a track from There Is This Place I Go. I gravitated first, when I heard the CD the first time, to Eblana.
Oh, Eblana.
Yes. Tell me about that.
Oh, Eblana is, it's, I suppose, a tribute. It's a tribute to our home city of Dublin, because this is the ancient name of Dublin, Eblana. And
how
I know
about
most
it?
People, yeah, a lot of people wouldn't be aware of that, but that was when it was first talked about. I think it was Ptolemy or one of these guys who did it way back there, hundreds of years ago, when he was first referring to the city that is Dublin, he called it Eblana. That's what the people, the natives, were calling it, Eblana. And actually, it is a nice word. There's something very,
beautiful.
I don't know, gentle about Eblana.
Yes.
And so that was the original name of Dublin. So when we were in the studio and this piece of music came to us, it just happened. It was one of those moments where we were just sitting together and just this piece of music came out of nowhere. And the first time we actually played it together, I actually cried. So I just thought, my God, this has moved me so deeply that we just thought, I don't know where, it just came out of the blue and says, we're going to call it Eblana, because I immediately felt I was walking across the bridge over the Liffey. and I just felt I really, you know, I thought the name would suit it.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
It was just one of those moments. It was just, yeah, this is inspiration, I suppose. This is the word that they use. Which reminds me, I better put Dave on the phone. I think I'm just talking all the time. Dave's looking.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. We'll play the song and let Dave come on the phone afterwards, because I want to get his perspective on a couple of things. But we've played The Road Less Traveled, and I wanted to play that. And we're going to play another song before we end this hour. But let me give folks another taste, because there's a few ways that Sahara goes on this CD. And I want to take them to another journey right now. So
get Dave ready.
I will.
This is Sahara and Iblana from the CD There Is This Place I Go on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Unbelievable. Oh, my gosh. To feel the artistry and the passion in this album is just a little tricky, because Sahara just lays open their hearts, Dave and Trish do, and that song just, whew, you hear an album the first time, and, you know, you're doing other things, and something triggers in you. That's the power of music. You are drawn in, and you can't do anything else but listen to the completion of the little miracle that's just happened. That's Iblana from Sahara on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And do I have Dave?
You certainly do, Trish. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Well, good morning to you, Dave. Thank you so much for spending time. Are you okay? Are you okay?
Listen, I'm braced. I'm sitting back here. I'm relaxing. Yes, the music sounded familiar. So I'm nice and calm now. I'm back to Ireland again, yes.
Oh, I know. I know. And you heard that.
And thank you for your beautiful comments. Sorry. Thank you so much for your beautiful comments.
Oh, it's a pleasure, a pleasure. It's just must be gratifying to you, as Trish had said, and you're the same way, to still have all this enthusiasm from what you do and feel compelled to turn out more music. Dave, that's so special, honestly.
Well, it is. Look, it is. It's something we're both extremely grateful for. But, I mean, I was actually just thinking, because I was listening to some of Trish's answers there, but we still get that buzz from writing new songs. And it's still the thrill for us is the initial stages of putting it together, the lyrics, the music, the initial arrangements, working out maybe some harmonies, solos, whatever it might be. But then we also wonder what's the outcome going to be when drums go in, keyboards go in, bass guitars go in, cellos, strings, whatever. So we're still as excited in terms of saying, what's it going to sound like, you know? And we actually still get surprised at even what the outcome is going to be. We're actually taking quite a bit of surprise at times. Even Oblana was one of those songs. We actually had no idea where was it actually going to go. And the end result, well, we're pleased with it. Trish nods her head. We're pleased with it anyway. So.
I suppose you are. And tell me about your journey, because, gosh, you know, you and Trish came together at in a peculiar set of circumstances and a wonderful set of circumstances, and you were doing your own thing, and then you realized...
I was doing my own thing. It was actually, it is true, it was really one of these funny, strange things that was actually, it was obviously meant to happen.
Yeah.
I had heard a recording that Trish was on. And unbeknownst to me, she'd also actually heard a recording I'd only recently done with a band. And I was really obviously blown away with her musicianship. I used to run ahead in certain songs just to listen to the saxophone solos. And nearly broke the tape a few times. But I actually then found out through a mutual musician that she was actually equally taken with what I was about. And it was through a third party that a get-together was arranged, a session with a group of musicians. And we first met, and we hit it off. But musically, we were still actually waiting. It was going to take at least another 2 years. We met again by chance. And we arranged then to have a music session, and that was it. That was it.
Amazing.
That was it. We started, I mean, I wasn't even aware at that stage that Trish also, as well as playing a sax and the flute and whistle and everything, but she also wrote songs. So when I heard her music, and we just got each other's music, even lyrically we got each other, and that was it. And we started writing together. It was a very, very exciting process. And it's still the same today, because it's like this tennis match going on all the time. We're sort of working out songs, and ideas are flowing. So it's fun.
You know what? It's so different to be able to hear there is this place I go, and to sort of figure out Sahara. There's a mystery about you, and hopefully there will always be that mystery, because mystery compels people to dig deeper and find out where your head is. So tell me a little bit, Dave, where your head is musically. What is the inspirational source for you to write songs? Because surely you've had folks gravitate to you. You've had some real success, TV and radio, and you're playing all the time, thank goodness. But where do you keep getting your inspiration?
God almighty. You know, to be really honest, I could think of some really arty response here, you know, we grab it out of the air. But I really don't know. They're just moment things. We don't plan anything. If we get an idea musically, we've been known to even just hum something into a dictaphone or a mobile phone and maybe work a song out afterwards. Or we could have a conversation over something we've seen on the news, or we've met someone, some event, something in our own lives, And even something lyrically, even if we're writing down lyrics, that can actually set the music off, or vice versa. We write some music and the lyrics come from there. We've never put any restraints on ourselves. I like to sort of think that we're sort of very honest in terms of with the writing. We write as we feel, whatever happens, that's it. And we approach the same way with albums. You don't sort of say, this is the theme of the album. It's what really happens at the time. If that song means something to us, that goes in. So I think that gives you a freedom as well. It just really means that even our styles of music, because we sort of tend to sort of, we go between different styles. It could be a bland in 1 minute, and it could be an upbeat song the next minute. So
yes.
An instrumental could be a vocal number. So it's everything. It's everything, really.
And do you feel that being in Australia now, do you feel as though you have the freedom and the peace about doing what you want? Do you feel that there would be less restrictions in Australia than what you perceive to be, for example, in the States? Because I feel that there's more freedom where you are.
Oh, why? What, musically, you mean? Or...
Yeah, I do. It doesn't seem as if you are, you and Trish and folks who live outside of the States aren't so encumbered with categories.
Ah, right. Whereas in the States you think they are?
I do. I think that sometimes we're consumed with it's either smooth jazz or not jazz or folk or contemporary, whatever, you know?
We were described many years ago. There was a word used for us, which was eclectic. And
yes.
I'm actually seeing that popping up more and more around the world, even including in the States. But I think that people look. There's so much music out there now. Even whether you like it or not, you've actually got to allow yourself to have a broad taste. So I think every style, more or less, is acceptable. Are becoming acceptable. I mean, how I sort of view music anyway, if this makes any sense to you, is I sort of rate it as whether it's good music or not so good music. If I get something from it, that's it. I enjoy it. But look, there will be the same thing even in Australia. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be people who are into certain styles of music. It's just maybe it's our mindset that we sort of don't think that way. We sort of just say, well, this is our music and we hope you enjoy it. And more often than not, people have enjoyed it. So I think if you were to think too much in terms of saying we have to play within that style, like this is how people are going to react. If they react that they feel it's good music and they get something from it, that's fantastic.
And you really do pour so much of what has been immersed in you. I mean, I really do love that contrast between Ireland and Australia, because it seems to be this light and dark scenario, and you have found this middle ground where it gives you this expression to explore all of that, and it turns out to be, just like the name of my show, Hybrid Jazz, you certainly are a hybrid, yes.
Exactly. And you are right. There is this enthusiasm we got certainly from Australian audiences. I mean, they love a lot of the upbeat music as well, but by the same token, you can suddenly bring in a ballad also. So, look, it's helped us. It's actually really helped us mature, to be really perfectly honest. Musically speaking, it's actually helped us to mature. We have. You are right there. We've learned even so much about ourselves. But we have matured musically, and a lot of that's also been to do with it's a different audience, it's different people, and there's an excitement, and I think that also helps us with the writing as well. So,
and we have to point out what you and Trish used to call yourselves. Oh, I love this. You used to call yourself Interfusion, did you not? Interfusion. I love it.
We were going through all sorts of names. We were thinking of Eclipse and I don't know wherever else, and then suddenly Interfusion came along. So we actually discovered later on, of course, I think there was another band called Interfusion as well. I think it was some band in the States from memory. So.
Oh, well, I don't remember them, but I remember you.
Yeah.
And Sahara.
But it was a very confusing name, you know. Sometimes people, even on radio shows or interviews, you know, and I don't know whether it was, they were doing it tongue-in-cheek, but I went from Interfusion to, and now we have Intermission. And
That's funny.
Maybe that's such a good name. So everybody knows Sahara, I think. Yes, the name anyway,
and
the desert. So
that's so intriguing. I mean, why is that? Because that is a very specific image, and you had that in mind, certainly, right?
Oh, we did. I mean, I probably should have let Trish answer this one. She has all sorts of answers for this one. She has stuff like, you know, well, the Sahara is growing. It's the biggest desert in the world, you know. But it encompasses so much. But no. But truthfully, she had holidayed over in Morocco, and the Atlas Mountains. She was over there, and we were going through names. And quite honestly, it was actually just the name of it. Actually, it intrigued us. It didn't mean that we could be pigeonholed into any particular type of music. It goes back yet again to the eclectic sort of sound.
Yeah.
So we sort of felt that it would give us a broader taste, even in ourselves, saying, well, here you go, just go ahead and you write what you want to write. So that was it. That was it, really. Well, I mean, there probably is an even better answer, but it's been so many years.
Well, no, look, I'm looking at the that album, and I appreciate Trish and you sending me the CD. So, you know, you've got very specific writing for Sahara, and it looks so Middle Eastern.
Algerian. Arabian Normal is the font, yes.
Oh, it's beautiful. And then I'm looking at you, and I'm more compelled to listen because I'm looking at you, and you don't necessarily go with that writing. and it's just really getting me interested
so, in other words, we're confusing you, so that's good.
Oh, look, confusion is what compels you to go further.
Interfusion again, there you go, confusion and
interfusion. Interconfusion, there you go, I think that's the next step.
That's a better name, interconfusion, I like that. Yeah.
Well, here is the thing, I know that when I heard this, just felt so strongly about some tracks. And I'm going to tell you ahead of time that now that I have heard The Road Less Traveled, it will be a regular song to play on my show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It just is one of those important songs that people need to hear in August of 2012. It really is.
It's a personal journey.
It's just it really speaks to now so much. And then,
yeah.
Oh, my God, I've already told the chat room. We've got quite a few people in the chat room listening to your every word.
Oh, God, help me. Hold on a sec. All right, yes.
Oh, no, absolutely.
I'm in trouble now, Trish. All right. what did I say?
Oh, you were in trouble before this phone conversation, trust me.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right.
So, but you must tell us, because I'm about to play Where Angels Rest.
Oh, okay. You want to know what that's all about?
Oh, Dave, you've created a little masterpiece here.
Well, I won't go into too many gory details, but that's actually to do with health issues. I had I got seriously ill.
Really?
And, yeah. Had to have multiple operations. So the part of even there is this place I go for both of us because of what we were going through dealing with all of this. Part of the album is an inspiration from that. And Where Angels Rest is essentially about that as well. It was I almost left this lovely little planet a few times, so that's what Where Angels Rest is about. That's the inspiration.
Oh my God!
So there you go. I've shocked you now, haven't I? Yeah.
No, and that's going to make
we've got really really serious now, Trish. I've changed the tone of everything.
No, I mean, people have to be aware that there are many sides to Sahara on this CD.
Oh, there are.
Yes.
We're still discovering these sides to Sahara.
Oh, yes, you are. But now that you've told the story, it's even more compelling. Oh, my gosh, Dave.
Yeah. It was one of those experiences, near-death experience. So the music, the lyrics, the whole lot, we got together and it just happened. It happened.
Those
and,
are the best kinds of scenarios that when they just
happen.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I mean, there's all sorts of scenarios. That was just one.
That's beautiful. Well, here we are.
Yeah.
It's Hello, I'm still
Hello?
Here.
Yo, you
still
there?
Here?
That's okay. I heard a beep 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 going. Yeah, it's all right.
Oh yes, there was a little beep beep beep.
Yes.
This is Dave Long that we're speaking to, and Trish Long is with us as well. And together, they form Sahara. This is from their beautiful CD, There Is This Place I Go, Beautiful and More. But this is exquisite, Where Angels Rest, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. That is a work of art. Oh, Sahara, There Is This Place I Go, Where Angels Rest. And on the CD, by the way, it is quickly followed by I'd Like to Dance All Night. I love that. That is so awesome, Dave.
Oh, God Almighty. It goes to show the state of our minds, doesn't it, Jay? we lull you into a false security, you know.
No, well, look, hey, you know what? You knew that you were going to live. So what do you choose to do? You want to dance all night?
There you go. Exactly. A celebration.
That is just too awesome. Oh, my God.
You're probably the only person that got that, you know? It's all right.
That's right. And look, if you want to go hear more or see more or do what you need to do, go to saharamusic.com.au because that's the website. And thank you for keeping it up to date.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, this is awesome. I'm so glad that we finally had this opportunity. Oh, my God.
Well,
you,
Well, we have seen your lovely face now for the last 1 or 2 years, especially on the All Internet, and the communication. It's really has been a delight for both of us to talk to you, really and truly, absolutely.
Oh.
And your enthusiasm, by the way, is infectious.
That's so sweet.
And for this time of the morning, for us to make us feel so good, and you have, we really enjoyed it. I mean that, absolutely enjoyed it.
God bless you. Well, thank you so much, Dave. You know, I really do.
You're celebrating a year, isn't it? Your anniversary with
yes.
the show.
Yes, in 2 days, the 25th. Oh, yeah. Bless your hearts, you remembered, yay!
Yeah, there you go. And this week, is it or?
Yes, it is actually. It's Saturday, and I wanted to make sure that you and Trish were on close to this time because you've become close to my heart.
Oh, God. Well, we're really honored. I mean that. We really are.
Absolutely.
We're going to have a drink then on Saturday, celebration. Here you go. We say to Trish Hennessy, yes, to the Hennessy lads.
Well, you know what? I'll have one for you, too.
Well, of course, Baltimore is named after, I think it's
Baltimore.
It's a Lord Baltimore. He's from Cork, I think, isn't it? Yeah, in Ireland.
Yes. Is he from Cork?
He is, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, you two are available
you
have a information.
You have a chat with the Irish Sahara, and we fill you in and everything. We don't know, yeah.
Well, bless you. Look, we've got less than 60 seconds, and I really revere both of you. Please, get Trish on.
Sorry.
Thank you, Dave.
I will. I put Trish on. Lovely talking to you, and you take care, and God bless.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I'm back.
Trish, we have to say goodbye quickly. Thank you so much for everything.
Look, it was an absolute thrill and an honor to be on your show. Really, really appreciate it. And it was just gorgeous talking to you.
Gorgeous talking to you. And we'll talk to you again soon on the way.
That'd be great. Take care.
All right, Trish. You too. Bye-bye. And
bye-bye.
Thank you to everybody who joined us on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We'll see you on Tuesday.